Welcome to Regulating AI Podcast, hosted by Sanjay Puri. Join us each episode as we dive into the evolving world of AI governance with global leaders, exploring how to responsibly tackle AI's challenges while fostering innovation and balance. This podcast was recorded live in partnership with the World Summit AI event.
Welcome to the Regulating AI Podcast, where we bring global diverse voices to frame fair, responsible AI regulation around the world. I am joined today by an amazing guest, Katya Klinova, who is the head of AI and data for the UN Secretary General's Innovation Lab. Welcome to the podcast, Katya.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Katya, we have a global audience, people who are policymakers, members of Congress, European members of parliament, think tanks, EU experts. Tell them just very briefly, what is the UN Innovation Lab and your role in that?
Yeah, so as you said, I head up data and AI initiatives at UN Global Pulse, which is the Secretary General's Innovation Lab. And our core work on AI right now is focused on an initiative called DISHA, which is a coalition effort, which brings together humanitarian and development partners, data and technology providers, philanthropists, academics, to responsibly use AI for humanitarian and development needs at scale. And each of these partners play a very unique role in this collaboration. Humanitarian and development agencies, they're of course the users of the products that we build, but they're so much more than just users. They are truly our co-designers. They make sure that whatever we focus on and whatever we build is actually needed in the field, warranted, and they are also the ones who make sure that how we build it and how we deploy it is very much grounded in firsthand understanding of the sensitivities of this environment. And that environment for us is usually quite sensitive. Then, of course, technology providers bring cutting edge AI expertise that we're able to leverage not only from within, but also from outside, as well as academics and philanthropists make the whole effort possible.
Wow. That's a very important and comprehensive role. Katya, DISHA, how is it playing a role in this national disaster? Can you tell our audience how it has played a key role and what do you see the possibilities for it?
Yeah, so as you know, climate events, weather events that are extreme are becoming more frequent and some of them more intense as well. So it is becoming every year really more and more important to make sure that humanitarian operations are efficient and are well targeted. And AI can be of help with this, right? Because AI allows you to, in virtually real time and near real time, analyze the vast swaths of data that humans on the ground cannot necessarily, you know, process that fast. I'll give you an example of our recent launch together with UNOSAT, UN Satellite Center, Google and WFP. We introduced a product that helps human analysts analyze damage to buildings and infrastructure on satellite images faster following a disaster. This is the kind of information that humanitarians need as quickly as possible, ideally within 48, 72 hours after a disaster, while humans are alive under the rubble and you can still help them. But of course, this is just painstakingly labor-intensive work when it's done manually without AI, because human analysts look at images before a disaster, after a disaster, and they go inch by inch comparing and marking every damaged building. This is a great use case for AI, but also a complex use case because buildings and damage looks different in different places around the world, depending on the type of a disaster. And so this, you know, pretty sophisticated technology that we were able to bring in and work with UNOSAT very closely in order to rigorously test it, you know, was instrumental there. And the first results that we're seeing from testing it on 9 most recent disasters is that it allows to speed up the pace of analysis by six times, bringing it to under a day, which is a really critical type of impact and potential for humanitarian operations.
Wow, so lots of implications. One of the things, Katya, that when I talk to our guests, they see a tremendous potential for AI in sustainability and climate change. Given your work with Disha, what do you see AI's role in terms of some of these environmental climate change issues?
Yeah, so this is, look, I think we always need to be very humble about AI helping us solve really, really complex, big problems. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't just expect that AI is just going to come and address it, right? Like these are complicated societal problems. We as society need to feel responsible mm-hmm. for that and think of AI as a tool that if used smartly and correctly and wisely, can be of mm-hmm. tremendous help there. And of course, like when you think about climate, you think about all kinds of, powerful technologies that my team is not focused on right now, but other teams at the UN sure. are thinking about early warnings, you know, weather modeling, other also partners around the world who are making genuine contributions to that. And this is a fast moving space that looks encouraging. Yeah.
Are there other projects that Disha is involved besides the natural disaster? Can you tell our audience briefly a little bit about some of the other work that Disha is involved with?
Yeah, we are quite focused on disaster response right now and disaster management. Outside of working with satellite imagery, we also work with so-called digital trace data, mobile phone data. As mobile phone penetration grows around the world, it becomes a very valuable source of data to understand how are people moving following a disaster? Mm. Because what you want to do is you don't want to send help only to the hardest hit areas. You also want to send help to the areas that maybe were spared from a disaster, but that's where people are evacuating to right. and that's where they're moving and this is where help might be needed. So mobile phone data is one of the signals that you can use to understand how these patterns of population mobility are unfolding following a disaster.
So Katya, these are mainly natural disasters that you, Disha, is focused on?
Yes, for now. But, Disha is a fairly new program. We've been around for a couple of years. Okay. And we're hoping to, in the nearest future, kind of expand our hope. Nothing about the Disha model limits it to just natural disasters. The kind of coalition that we've already brought together and it continues to grow. Now I invite interested partners to get in touch with us, especially data providers, to technologists. It allows to use it for different kinds of SDGs and humanitarian and development mm-hmm. needs.
Katya, we are at this incredible conference in Amsterdam where you see hundreds of exhibits of companies and others around here. But there is this other view that from AI, are we making sure that the global south also comes along with us? You are at the UN, and I know maybe it's not your specific things, but do you have any thoughts in making sure that AI serves all of humanity and not just, a few parts of humanity?
Yeah, I think this is a hugely important question. This is maybe the defining question of our time. And we need to be clear, when we think about AI advancement, hopefully there's going to be all kinds of AI uses that the private market deliver that are broadly beneficial. But we also need to acknowledge that there will be a lot of AI uses, or there could be a lot of AI uses that would be most beneficial to the poorest and most vulnerable in the world that the private market is just not going to deliver. Not going to go there, right? And so we need concerted effort from international organizations, from philanthropies, from private partners contributing to that in a deliberate way to make sure that these latter type of use cases do indeed take place and do happen, even though they might not kind of happen by themselves, quote unquote. And so that was one of my primary motivations to join Disha, because this is one of the efforts that tries to channel AI capacity, including from the private sector, but not only, towards these use cases that benefit worlds, people in like their hardest, darkest hour, and make sure that, the benefits of these technologies do reach these communities as well.
We are very grateful for putting your time. You could be out there working for some big tech companies in doing that. In terms of the role of multilateral organizations, and I worked a long time ago in that, what do you see the role, whether it's the UN, OECD, et cetera, as we are marching down this massive transformation that is happening in AI? What do you think is the role of multilateral organizations in terms of AI?
Yeah, I think there could be definitely many roles. And let me just kind of speak from my perspective and my little, you know,
sure,
part of that pie. I think in terms of facilitation of, you know, the private-public partnerships around channeling AI capacities towards development needs, humanitarian needs, this is a real role that international organizations can play as matchmakers, you know, to really see, because there's so much AI research emerging that is potentially relevant to a lot of SDGs, but that doesn't mean that existence of it somewhere on archive, somewhere on GitHub as open source code, does not mean it actually gets used in the field or is readily available as safe, robust, validated tools to humanitarians, to development professionals, right? And this gap, like someone needs to be closing this gap. So we're trying to play that role with Disha, but also bringing humanitarians to the table, into the conversation, and into the process of co-creating this technology, it's really critical to help de-risk it for these environments and for these sensitive uses. That's not something you can do just out of Silicon Valley or, you know, Amsterdam, London, you know, other places. You have to have people who work with communities, and they really have the firsthand understanding of the environment, how sensitive it is in which AI would be used. So that part, these kinds of partnerships can only emerge out of you know, multilateral types of platforms, and they're really critical to make sure that both AI benefits reach you know, these communities, but also reach them safely and responsibly.
So Katya, in the data innovation lab that you're involved with, do you have public-private partnerships? For our audience who might be have some very creative applications, do you think there is a role for some of them with your lab?
Yeah, completely.
So tell them what kind of partnerships are you looking for, what kind of organizations, so that some of them can come respond to you.
Wonderful, yes. Please do get in touch. Just Google Disha UN Global Pulse. And you can email us. We are at all times looking to partner with data providers who can contribute the kind of data that helps humanitarians understand the situation on the ground following a disaster, you know, can be used for other SDGs and development needs. We're looking to partner with technologists, donors, and philanthropists. So yeah, truly, this is a broad coalition, and it is an open coalition. We are at all times seeking new partners. And of course, humanitarian and development organizations, if we're not already working with you, we would love to partner.
Well, you heard it from Katya that to our listeners who are listening, who the kinds of companies or organizations, please reach out, because they are looking and open to that kind of partnership. Katya, thank you so much for your amazing insights and the incredible work that you're doing with Disha in terms of disaster recovery, hopefully climate change, and other important issues, and the role of multilateral organizations. So thank you for taking the time, and look forward to having you back for a longer discussion.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Regulating AI Podcast. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on the show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you'll never miss an episode, and leave us a 5-star review.